Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, today we're going to continue on with our introduction of Ksamim and continue where we had left off, but in many ways to summarize both the issues that we're going to raise today as well as in future weeks, the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba. So let's see the words of the Rashba inside. Quotes a Rashba, really summarize all of Ksamim in very concise terms, and then we'll come back to and review, put on the board some of the shittos that we had already discussed, and Be'ezer Hashem be ma'arich, as well as apply halacha l'maisa. So in the end of Kuf Tzadi Sifkatan Aleph, the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba, Sifkatan Aleph in the Beis Yosef. Cause of a Rashba b'chilas shar dalet. This is just a beautiful summary. Yesh nashim shetiyaru es kismeim legamri. There are women that even though they have stains, they're noeg b'tahara. They don't separate from their husband. Va'afilu stinim shalem luchach medam. Va'afal pi she'en lem b'mal litzot. Really, objectively, they really don't have any tzliya. Kitinokes shelo yiyaz mana liros. So, exception number one to Ksamim, and this is going to be Sifim Beis through Dalid, is a tinokes that doesn't normally see, so then you don't have to be machmir on Ksamim at all. Vafilu mishi yesh lo Ksamim, lo lekol Ksamim choshesh, we're not choshesh for all Ksamim. Ela kishenimtsu Ksamim b'makom, shenira shenimeno haya kilemata min ha-sinor. Below the waist, then there's room to be worried about Ksamim. And even those places where you should be choshish that it's come from her makar, if you have something to be tola, you should be. Ubelvad on the condition sheisham dover yodua sheyachola litzos bo, but you need something that is reasonable to do tliya. Tliya means to hang and say that the dam over here came from something else. What's something else? Kemishnis aska b'ksamim, if she was involved in some type of stains. Oshiyotzva b'tzad hamas askim ukiyotzeba, or she's around somebody else that was osek with dam. Upam shetol afil b'davar shein du amamish. And then it doesn't even have to be absolute, says the Rashba. Eloshu karav yoser shemisham ba. It's likely. Kimisha Shila Chaluka Lenachris, she let out her garments to a foreign woman, Ozekena Liyilada, or an elderly woman lent it out to a young woman, Ukeyotzibizah, who's more frequent to bleed. Fafilu Ein Ba'echla Mikolelu. So we have heter number one is Tliya, and heter number two is other things. Yeshvarm She'emikavim Ksam Kidvarm She'emikavim Tuma. This is all spelled out in the Gemara in last week's booklet, and that is that we follow the opinion that says that there are Ksamim on Davar Mekabel Tuma, Ubeget Savua, as well as a colored garment. These are all upcoming topics. Va'odi Kilu Biroa Vada Migufa, where Mekel, even if it comes certainly from a guf, Elushu Karo Shlo Banim in Akar. Another clue would be that we know for sure it came from a guf, but we don't think it came from a uterus. Ka'oset Tzrachel, that's the ninth parak of Nida, Vinitza Dam Bisafel, or she finds on the toilet, Ukaroa Dam Machmas Makam, and we consider it like a case of Roa Dam Machmas Baka. So this Rashba I love because the Rashba really summarizes everything that we're going to see in the next while. It's a summary of Ksamim. He points out the basic sugyas beginning for the 8th parak going into the 9th parak. In the simple reading of the Rashba, which of course was the end of our discussion last time, and we'll put on the board now and outline the shittos and more hashlachos, is that the Rashba seems to say that the heter of Ksamim is based on the concept of tliya, that at least the case of a kesem that's less than a grif, it would seem that according to the Rashba, it's some type of tliya. Now, if you take the approach of tliya, so we saw that there are two fundamental ways of looking at Kesem last time. We saw the Shita of Rashi, and we saw the Shita of the Rambam.
I'm going to do this a little higher because we're going to have quite a bit over here.
On the one hand, Rashi says, Dilma Argusha. We're afraid that she had a Hargusha. And Kulava Daita, she wasn't aware of it. Similarly, the Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam, in Perek Tes of Isurabia, towards the beginning, last week we saw, the Rambam seems to emphasize that there's a suffix. What's the suffix? That a kesem is a suffix, maybe it came from the Makar, presumably with Hargasha. So therefore, the Rambam says, a midrabanan, we have to be machmir. We spoke about last time that there, the formulation of the Bali Tosas, and we're not going to repeat why that was the formulation of the Bali Tosas, but we saw the formulation of the Bali Tosas seems to be a gzera, and the way in which Tosas said it, just Berashe Prakim, is that Tosas said, even if you know for sure, there's no Hargasha. There's absolutely no Hargasha, Vadai Ein Hargasha, which is clearly then not the Oraisa. Nevertheless, Tosas says, we have to be Machmir. Shulchan Aruch, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, all on this side as well. All of them are on this side as well. That seem to be Gezerah. Let's see it in the words again in the Shulchan Aruch. We saw it in the Tur last time and in the Shulchan Aruch. Just this time I want to have everything on the board. Dvar Torah, Eina Yisha Metama V'lo Asur L'Baila Ad Shetargish Shiyasadami V'sara V'chachomim Gozru Al Kol Kesem. Chachomim made Gezerah on every Kesem. Last week, after we delineated these shitos in detail, we introduced a fascinating take, and that is the take of the Chassam Sofer. What we're going to do over here is put nafkaminos as well as shitos. We're going to put them both down on the same side and going to check off whether they're assuming suffix and gzera. The Chassam Sofer is a fascinating shita. With this, we concluded how to make sense of Ksamim Bezman Hazeh. I'm going to continue arguing that the Chassam Sofer's approach is the Derech HaMelech in terms of understanding Ksamim today, and we will see the Cholkim, and we'll break through some of the important shitas. The Chassam Sofer was quoted by the Pischei Tshuva in the end of Sifkaton Yud, and the Chassam Sofer says something fascinating. The Chassam Sofer says that the rationale behind many of the rules of Ksamim is Ksamim started off as a halacha in regards to Tumah. We saw, and I was thrilled to see that Rav Miller made the same point as well, that the Bala Eshkol was of the opinion that Ksamim don't even apply today at all because Tumah V'Tahara doesn't apply. So the Chassam Sofer says the Eshkol is right and the Eshkol is wrong. On the one hand, his son-in-law, the Ravid, disagrees and everybody disagrees, as we saw last time, and they hold that some do apply Bizman Hazeh. However, says the Chassam Sofer, but even though that's true, the whole rationale of Ksamim started from Tumah V'Tahara. Really, there's no reason why a woman should be usur to her husband. However, because of Hilchos Safek, in terms of the object being Tameh, the dam that falls on a particular object, particularly Vameven Yavin, Dover Mekabel Tumah, it works out very well as well. We'll get to that. The Noda Behuda will elaborate on this when we discuss Dover Mekabel Tumah. If when it falls on an object, that's Tameh, so then in such a case, the object is going to become Tameh. So says the Chassam Sofer that when it comes to the whole institution of Kesem, the whole institution, says the Chassam Sofer, is in the Isser Labaila as a Gzeira for Tumah. Gzeira mi Tumah. In Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, you would have to be Machmir on this Kli. And therefore, there's a Gzeira mi Tumah, and we extend it to the woman and her husband. In other words, how could it possibly be in the time of Chazal that the object is going to be Tameh and she's going to be Muteres Labayla? What's going to happen is the moment the woman thinks that she's Muteres Labayla, she's going to think that the Keli is also Tar. So therefore, we have this Gzeira. That's the Chassam Sofer's explanation. Rav Miller Shlita added something mind-boggling. He added the first page of your booklet. You'll take a look and you'll see that this Svara, the Chassam Sofer, is already a Mi'iri. The Mi'iri on page 238. The beauty of things when they reverberate through a base medrash is I opened up the Me'iri, the relatively new Me'iri, and it opened up to this page. Because that's what the either Rabbeim or the Talmidim had. It was a new Me'iri, but automatically opened to this page, because that's what had been worked on in the Kailo previously. So we're continuing that tradition. So it's page 238. So the Me'iri is talking about the fact that when it comes to Ksamim, we're going to discuss in much more detail next week, that Ksamim is only on those things that are Mekabel Tumo. So he gives two explanations on why that's so. Why only on a Dovra Mekabel Tumo? The first explanation, last two lines, is Shlo Gozru El Al Dovra Matsui, only those things that are common. In other words, in those days, it wasn't common to have things that were a Dovra Sheina Mekabel Tumo. So it's a gzeira on a davar amatsui. Oh, or more than that, says the Me'iri, shelo gozrel al davar sheroi letamo machmas hadam, v'titamei ha'isha agbo, that we were only gozer on those things that are roi letamo, those things that are susceptible to accepting tuma. V'titamei ha'isha agavo, and the woman becomes tamei. V'gzer midrabanan is that the woman becomes tamei agvo along with it. In other words, the gzer midrabanan is that we say that once the object becomes tamei, then the woman is going to be tamei and asura labaila. Fascinating idea of the Me'iri. The Me'iri sounds like the precedent. I'm not saying it's the exact same thing of the Ksam Sofer, but the Me'iri is mefurish. That it is a gzeira. The Me'iri is mefurish that it's a gzeira, because he said both explanations. He says it's a gzeira. However, over here, the Me'iri in his second explanation does even add more, and the Me'iri says that she's mitama agvo. In other words, it sounds like that this gzeira of gesamim is because the item had become tameh, then we make the woman tameh as well. So that is very much a precursor to the idea of the Ksam Sofer. Once again, when we're breaking this down into broader categories, we're not going to say that all the shitas are identical, but there is a lot of similarity between what the Me'iri is saying and the Ksam Sofer. Yes, Yisra?
Just the Mitame Agvo concept.
Sure. Mitame Agvo means, Agav means along with it. So once we say that the object is Tameh, so then we're going to also make a Gzera that she is Tameh along with it. And that seems very much like the Ksam Sofer saying. Yeah?
Is this Gzera supposed to mirror how Tuma Vatara actually works in Tameh? I mean, there is Tuma Olin. So is this supposed to be a Gzera to Tuma Olin? Meaning you're Matama something, therefore the Tuma goes up from the original source, so therefore that's why she's going to be Tameh? I think that's where Rabbi Yonah is coming from.
Right? I don't think it's Olin. I think you could say that what he's saying is that once she touches the dam is going to touch the object, she's going to touch it as well, and Mimela she's Asar al Tuma v'Tahara. But he's also talking about Hilchos Nida. I don't know if it's Dafka Olin. It's that in general when she comes in contact. Now there is a very important shita that needs to be put on the books that I think is directly connected to what we noticed in that Rishon as well. Definitely on the books, and I've not seen Poskim make reference to this often, but I think that this could be an arrow in your quiver. Is that what it's called? I think that you should have this, even though it's not used too often, but I do think that's something that should not be ignored. Yes, Avram? Yes, it would be a dindaraisa. Correct. Right.
So when would there be a situation where a woman would be mixing tame because she's an inga, but also not the usher of her husband?
Oh, so last year we discussed, does the iser labaila have to do with the fact that she herself has tumas nida? Okay. Or is it this independent rule that says that a woman who is a nida is a asura labaila? And we pointed out that these two questions might be connected with each other. Yeah, what we had said from Rabbi Yosef Engel. But I don't want to repeat that this time because it's a little bit too conceptual for our halacha shir right now. Okay. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rambam, Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph. It's in Dibra Maskel Vadak, once again in the Siman Aleph, where the Rambam is of the opinion that when it comes to Ksamim, the Rambam says that a woman who is Tmeya for a Kesem is only Tame for 7 days. The Rambam's of the opinion that she's Tame for only 7 days, like a Nida de Oraisa. In other words, according to the Rambam, Chumras Rabbi Zeira, that we're machmir, that every tipas dam kechardel we apply to a zava, the Rambam does not hold that way in regards to ksamim. Okay, this is the shitas Harambam. The Rambam says that, but let's talk about nafkamina number one over here. Okay, the Ram is a woman tamei for 7 days or 12 days. Does a woman for ksamim have a din nida da raisa or da rabbanan?
Why do you say 12 and not?
Because normally it's 5 plus 7. Does she have a din nida da raisa or da rabbanan? Ruba rishonim say that she has a din da raisa. Where is it explicit? Always rooted in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber goes out of his way to say it, and the Ramah adds to that. I want you to appreciate every word of the Mechaber that we read last week. The Mechaber says, Utsricha hefsek tahara, back into the words of the Mechaber, Shetivdok atzma, Kuf tzadi sifal. And she needs a hefsek tahara to check herself, v'timtza tahara, v'achar kach timna shivanikim, and then she has to count 7 clean days, chutz miyom ha-metzia. Who can tell me the significance of that word? Chutz miyom ha-metzia. The Mechaber is trying to emphasize that this is not the same thing as a Nida d'Oraisa that just says that you need to count 7 days from the onset of the period. No, here it needs to be pure Shiva Nikiyim, and we're not talking about just simply counting 7 days like a Nida d'Oraisa. You count 7 clean days outside of the actual Re'iyah itself. So for example, let's say she had a Kesem on Sunday. So then, okay, and she doesn't see anything more. So Nida d'Oraisa would say that what she needs to do is count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, until the end of 7. However, Nida that treats everything like a Zava, leaving aside the 5 days, outside the 5 days, that's our Chumrah, that we never start Shiva Nikim without 5 days. Let's say you would be able to start right away, but you could only count Sunday night. Chutz miyom ha-metziah. Chutz miyom ha-metziah. According to the Rambam, that's not true. You don't say chutz miyom ha-metziah. According to the Rambam that we read in Yud Aleph, the Rambam says that's like a Nida d'Oraisa. Nida d'Oraisa is that she sees on Sunday, Sunday could already be day number one. So the Mechaber is emphasizing Chutz Miyom HaMetziah, saying that we're treating it like Nida Derabanan, and therefore that's why you have 7 full days. And adds the Ramah, Ki Ilu Ros Avadai. We treat it as if she saw it as Avadai. I want to point out that the Rambam, in his formulation, that he said that it's Safek, it could make sense that the Rambam could hold that is Nida d'Oraisa, that it has a din Nida d'Oraisa, because at the end of the day, it's just a Safek Ba'alma. There was just a Safek Ba'alma, and if it's a Safek Ba'alma, so then in such a case, we say that you treat it like, maybe. So then what will we do if we say, maybe? You don't have to be so machmir. You'll say that it has the din of Nida d'Oraisa. You have to be machmir on a level of d'Oraisa. But did they have all of the chumras? But according to the Ramah, what was the lashon of the Ramah? This is the Rambam. What's the lashon of the Ramah? The lashon of the Ramah is Vaday Rasa. The Ramah emphasizes Vaday Rasa, and it's consistent also, I would argue, even within the Mechaber as well. Vaday Rasa, the language of the Ramah, seems to be on the side that it's a Gzeira. So, if you hold that there's some type of suffake over here, then there's room to say that when it comes to the suffake, then we'll say, okay, maybe we'll be machmer a level of d'Oraisa. But if the gzeira is that we treat her as a vaday rasa, now you could hold that it's a gzeira And you don't treat the gzera as vade rasa. But the Ramah is not looking at this as simply as a suffix. The Ramah is saying that we treat this as a vade rasa. No one is going to say that this is a suffix hashakal. What's become over here is we've taken a slight suffix and we made a gzera on that suffix, and it has a din of vade rasa. So that's going to be nafkamina number one that we could add within the Shitas HaRambam. Last week, we pointed out another nafkamina, and that is in regard to Svek Sveka. Oh, wait, did last week we say that? Maybe we didn't emphasize Svek Sveka last week. We'll say it this week now. Svek Sveka. Oh, Svek Sveka we said in the Gemara, on Nuntes Amud Beis. That's right. Last week we said Svek Sveka on Nuntes Amud Beis. Okay? That if you're going to say Svek Sveka, so then that makes sense within the realm of Safek. However, if you're going to say that it's Zera, then there isn't the first Safek that we described in the Gemara of the man and the woman that are standing next to each other. But I want to give you another example of Svek Sveka. That's A. I want to give you Svek Sveka number B that's in the Taz. If you take a look at the Taz on, again, Sif Aleph, the Taz asks about a different type of Svek Sveka. I know I haven't gone over the Gemara Nun Tes Amud Beis. I'm going to leave now. Just for those who want, we discussed it last time. The Taz in Sifkat and Beis asks the following kasha on Ksamim. The Taz asks, Ein lahakshos ha'avei Svek Sveka. Now this kasha appears on the Rambam, on the page of the Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. You have it in the Torah Shlomim in Sifkaton Aleph, that the Kesef Mishnah already asks, why are we machmir by Ksamim and say that it is Aser? What's the difficulty? No, we should be makel on Ksamim. Ha'havis Svek Sveka. It should be considered Svek Sveka. Safek im yotza mimeno oma alma. Safek, maybe it came from her, maybe it didn't. Vim timsalomar mimenu, asks the Taz, emar lav min amakar asri. How do you know that it came from the Makar? Maybe it didn't come from the Makar. Now, you could answer with Klali Svek Sveka, say maybe this is a Safek B'Shem Echad. There are other ways that one could answer the Taz. About Mavin Yavin, I would point out that the Pashtus of the Taz's approach is that he has a very expansive view of Svek Sveka, as well as the Kesef Mishnah who asks the question. But Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that there's a very simple answer that you could give to the Taz's kasha. The whole kasha of the Taz is assuming that the phenomenon of Kesem is a suffix. So then, the Taz's question that asks, why isn't Kesem Svek Sveka, the Taz in Sifkat and Beis, his starting point from the Kesef Mishnah is that it's based on suffix. However, if you don't assume that it's based on Safek, then the whole kasha Svek Sveka doesn't really start at all. Now, Yesh La'ayin, maybe that's the Kesef Mishnah's teretz. If you take a look at the Torah Shlamim, he quotes the Kesef Mishnah, and then he says, V'yesh Lomar, seven lines into the Torah Shlamim, V'yesh Lomar, Da'af al-pi kein yichmiru v'chafamim, mishum de'isr chamurhu. That's a very, very strange expression. What exactly does the Kesef Mishnah mean? I'm not convinced that the Kesef Mishnah is saying Rav Miller's Teretz, but it's Yesh La'ayin whether he's saying the Teretz. But what's most fascinating is that the Taz is asking this question of Svek Sveka. L'chura, if it's a Gzeira, then the question of Svek Sveka, one could argue, does not start at all. So it's an extension of what we had seen from the Gemara on Nutes Amud Beis. Another Nafgamina that we had discussed last week was Birchas Tfilah. When she goes to the mikvah, does she need to make a bracha? Or could she make a bracha? If it's a gzeira, says the Aruch HaShulchan we saw last week, says yes. However, argues the Darkei Tshuva, no. Darkei Tshuva says no. Why no? Very simple. He says that at the end of the day, this was only a chshash. Maybe she didn't have, this blood came from her. According to Rashi, we added, it's a chshash, and maybe it's her hargasha. So then in such a case, you're not going to make a bracha on the tevila. Now, what we're going to do today is extend this chakira into very, very practical halach lamaisa questions. All of the above questions over here were all in the world of theory. These are all theoretical questions. But we are going to see that this exact question that we began with, which might be connected to the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosis, which clearly we argued the Shulchan Aruch is taking one side, and we're going to see, I think it works out really, really nicely how the different Shitos line up, because I think the way we're going to come out Lahalacha, and the way Rav Nevenzal Shlita told me as well, it will work out beautifully in terms of the way we've been reading the Shulchan Aruch up until now. But we will see that the Poskim themselves were struggling with this in Halacha Lemaisa instances. There is an absolutely fascinating Sidrei Tara that we put on the Mar Mekomos. The Sidrei Tara in Sifkotan Samach Beis, Kuf Tzadi, Sifkotan Samach Beis, quotes the Tshuvas Mil Tzedakah. The Mil Tzedakah is a pretty popular sefer. Bagi Avram quotes him pretty often in Aruch Chaim, and here and there the Poskim discuss him, and usually the Poskim are very, very happy with the Sefer Mil Tzedakah. If I'm not mistaken, just for a wake-up call for us, the Mil Tzedakah was Nifter. If I'm not mistaken, he's Nifter at the age of 34. It's been a little bit quite a gaon. He quotes the Tshuvas Mil Tzedakah Simin Chaf. The Sidrei Tara does, and Sidrei Tara thinks it's wild. And we're going to see that a lot of the discussion today that revolves around some and two into real halacha lemaisa cases comes up there. Now, in the Sidrei Tara, as you know, the Sidrei Tara, I said Sifkan Samach Beis, I meant Sifkan Samach Aleph, Sifkan Samach Aleph. As you know, he's quite long. The Dibur HaMashchil is Odra Isi Milsa Detzmiya. Right? In the green edition, you also have that as a separate paragraph. Odra Isi Milsa Detzmiya, where is it? On what page is it in the green?
102.
In my edition, it's Samachay. Okay. He quotes the Mil Tzedakah. Odra Isi Milsa Detzmiya. Vahayoser Nir Lomar. He quotes the Mil Tzedakah. Elavadai de Poshele Bazashir, the Tsarchal Kaponim, Mishum de Koshu Bipachos Migris, Vadai lo Gozral Rabbonim. Dal Kayotzi Bazel lo Haisa Zerasam. And here is the kicker. Says the Mil Tzedakah, Afal Gav de Vadai Megufa Atsia. Now, this is how I concluded the Shir last time. At the end of the day, when I was a chassan, I was really bothered. What is this heter? I heard it in the questions of some of the chassanim here as well. What is this heter of a gris? So we're going to read shortly in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, Sandaf Nuches, that if there was a macholas that's killed, and this is the shear of its blood, and it's the size of a penny, and so on and so forth. Come on. Do we really, really believe that it's a macholas? So that's a, by the way, it's not, the answer to that question is not simple. Not simple in terms of, for some poskim. For other poskim, the answer is simple. Mil Tzedakah, the answer is simple. The Mil Tzedakah says that even if you know it's Vadai Migufa Asya, Chazal never made the Gzeira. The Sidrei Tara thinks that that's extremely, extremely difficult. The Sidrei Tara in Dibur HaMashchil Ulanias Daiti says, Ein Divreim Nechonim. It's not correct. De Vadai Hecha De Ikla Misli Machosu De Tahora. Avalim Vadai Migufa Nofik Afal Gav De Shalob Hargosha Asya Tzmeya. Even if it didn't come with the Hargosha, then of course she's Tzmeya. La Mevin Yavin will be a fascinating question how this relates to Sidrei Tara's old Shita about Vadai Gufa and Hargosha. That's beyond our scope. And that is our first practical nafkamina. And that is nafkamina 4, which is really nafkamina 5. We're putting it into red because now we're getting to halacha lemaisa. Is what happens if you have something that vadai migufa asya? So here we have the, if you say that the halacha is, that's a suffix, and therefore it's a tliya, suffix, in other words, now we're going to put it in red, is tliya. So then in such a case, says the Sidrei Tara, says that she's asura. There's no way you could use that tliya. However, what does the Tshuvas Mil Tzedaka say? Tshuvas Mil Tzedaka says that one could be meitel. Why? He says less than a gris, they never made the gzera. So we need to understand, what do those words mean? Less than the gris, but the Gemara says it's makolas. So the Gemara didn't say it's just a random gzera. The Gemara tells us what the Sidrei Tara says. The Gemara tells us that the Gemara has a discussion. Do you need to know that she killed the bed bug or the makolas? Or even if she didn't? The Gemara says you don't need to know that she killed. But the Gemara seems to say that the whole point is that it's a tliya. So what's the answer? The answer is that Chazal made the gzeira only where there isn't a tliya. Why? So according to Sam Sofer, it's beautiful. This falls into the same category of the Sam Sofer, that you say that the gzeira mituma. So Chazal never made the gzeira, the isur of Isha Labaila, when there is less than a macholas. Because the whole gzeira is not because we were choshesh that she's asura labaila. It's not that there's a suffix, maybe there was a hargasha, a suffix that maybe she's asura. But rather there's a gzeira that's being made over here. I think it's a point that's misameach. Who said this out most clearly? So Rav Moshe Feinstein really makes this point really clearly. Rav Moshe in two places. It's page number 2 in our photocopies. Both of these photocopies are Yoredeya Chelek Gimel. Yoredeya Chelek Gimel in the Igros Moshe. It's on page Resh Pei Aleph. I believe that is... I don't want to say wrong, Mar Malcolm, but it's on page Resh Pei Aleph in the Igros Moshe. We'll be able to find it quickly, what exactly is the siman. All the Igros Moshe are printed with the same defus, thankfully. So it's Resh Pei Aleph in the Igros Moshe Yoredeya Chelek Gimel, where he quotes the Chasam Sofer. He says you don't even have to go as far as the Chasam Sofer. You could just say simply that Chazal created the Gzeira only where it would fall into the category of the Macholas. But that doesn't explain why would Chazal do it. If you say with the Chasam Sofer, then it even explains to us why they would create the gzeira and that shear. I thought, and I was thrilled to see that a shaila that comes up in the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch should also be dependent on this, and Rav Moshe himself makes this point. In Simen Kuf Tzadi Sif Katan Hey, so there we have the issue of being tole up until the grit. So here the Mechaber writes, Lo gazra la kesem, elim ken yesh bo kigris va'od. The only gzeir of kesem was made on the size of a gris. V'shir agris hu ketisha adashim. And the size of a gris is 9 adashim. V'shir adasha, the small lentil. V'shir adasha kidalit se'aros. And the size of this bean is dalit se'aros. What they're trying to figure out is the pool, this type of bean that's described in the Gemara. Shulamid vev saaretz kmo she'en kvuas begufa shel adam. V'chol zman she'en bo kezeh ashir, and any time it doesn't have the shir, anuton lo mar dam kinahu. We could assume that this is a dam kina, apel pi shelo harga kina. By the way, what is the number in terms of halacha l'maisa? What is the size of a gris today? So the number that Rav Moshe Feinstein gives is 19 millimeters. 19 millimeters is the shear, which comes out to be exactly an American penny. So a penny is exactly the shear of a gris. Rav Miller said there were rumors, but it's never been entirely corroborated, that Rav Soloveitchik was a little bit more makel, said the size of a nickel, or even the size of a quarter. But at the end of the day, a shear of a penny is the minig hamorim to follow. And then if it has this shear of a gris, then it's mutter. Of course, the Mechaber goes on, it doesn't have to be a circle. It doesn't have to be a circle. In any way that it has the diameter of 19 millimeters, so So then in such a case, that area is the area that you measure. So if it's something that's long and narrow, so you would extend the same area to measure the kesem. So anutan lomar, back into the words of the Shulchan Aruch, dam kinahu. Even if she didn't kill a kina, there were two opinions in the Gemara, and we follow the opinion that says that even if she didn't, but once you have the shear, then you can no longer be told. Now Rabbi Kiva Eger comments something interesting. We'll come back to some of these, the words of the Mechaber shortly. Rabbi Kiva Eger comments, Anu tolin lomar, b'mare shachor tmeya af pachos mikugris. He quotes from the Raven in the Balei HaNefesh that if it's black, then you have to be machmir. If it's black, then you're going to have to be machmir, even if it's less than a gris. What's the logic? Logic is very simple. The logic is that we never saw black blood from a macholas. We did see black blood from a woman, that what it is blood that was red, shelaka, but from a macholas, we don't have that. What the physiology and biology about this is, I don't know. But at the end of the day, that's the logic of the Ravid. There is a discussion in the poskim whether we paskin like this thing, this chumrah of Rabbi Kiva Eger. This is already more academic than it is practical. Do we paskin like this? If you take a look, Ramesha Lishitaso says, we don't. Take a look at Tuf Yud in Yaradeya. He says, and he says beautifully, the svara that we just said. Ramesha says, do we really believe that it comes from Macholas? Is that the chash? Or do we say that the word is that less than a sheer gris? We never made the gzera in the first place. So if you say that the word is that we're working with suffix and tliya, then once you have a suffix, you have a tliya. So then in such a case, we would say that shachar is not a tliya. You would have to be machmir. Who's machmir? Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, the halacha lemaisa, even though Rabbi Kiva Eger brings that down, however, Rav Moshe says no. You could be mekel. Why? Why can you be mekel? Check always is meant mekel, right? I think that it's worked. We'll have to just make sure that you write out what the check means in every instance. We just have to clarify. But Igris Moshe says you could be mekel. Why? Because the word is that less than a gris, the gzeira never applied. The gzeira never applied less than a gris. You could go with the rule, and that is that in the time of Chazal, if there wasn't, using the logic of the Chasam Sofer that Rav Moshe likes as well, that if in the time of Chazal you were able to be tola, and that was enough for Tuma Vitaras, and then the whole gzeira of Isha Labaila does not apply. So the first example, though, is very, very rampant. The first example I'm referring to is Vadai Migufa. The crazy uplasi is Eish Lahava in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel that says that Bizmanazeh, you have to reassess the size of a gris. You have to reassess the size of a gris. How large are the macholos today? So according to the crazy uplasi, so then that is going to be another nafkamina. Do you say that you have to look at the size of the beg bugs today? The one who said this prior to the Kresi Uplesi is the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Tes. He quotes Rishonim that say that Bizmanazeh, the Uraim is talking in the 13th century. The Uraim says you can't necessarily assume that the shear that was once used is the shear that is going to apply today, even though the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin this way. The Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see in a moment, is going to be more mekel. The Shulchan Aruch makes a cheshbon, which is presumably a cheshbon that goes back l'dorei doros, and he uses that cheshbon even though the doros have passed. However, the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Tes quotes the Yireim. Let's take a look and see that inside. Ayin b'sefer Yireim, shekasav da'anan lo b'kiim b'shir agris. We're not bucky with the shear. Hilkach, tzarech lizar b'ksam l'fishi gladas, she'ein da macholas rabba. We don't have a lot of bedbugs. Uba v'inyan shu'roa she'ein aroi lithos. And uba inan. It's probably a mistake over here. Uba inyan. Okay, he stops off in the middle of the sentence. I'm not sure what he's saying in the sentence. But the bottom line is, what the Yerayim is saying over here in the opening line, is that you have to adjust based on the day's kina, the day's macholas. So does nafgamina number 6 is going to be the following. Does the size of macholas adjust based on the generation? The Yerayim says yes. The Yerayim says that it's going, and he falls into the side that suffix. He's assuming it's a real tzliya. So if it's assuming a real tzliya, then in such a case, it's going, the size of the macholas is going to have to adjust. However, there are cholkim. And the cholkim say no. The cholkim say that when it comes to the size of the gris, the size of the gris goes back to what was the original size of the gris, what once was. Who says this explicitly? The Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi in the photocopy in your booklets, as well as others. There are quite a few who say it. Now, the one thing is that the Yerayim is a Rishon. The Yerayim is a Rishon. But the Chacham Tzvi in Tshuva Samach Zayin says that you don't adjust for the size of the Macholas, you don't adjust. The Chacham Tzvi says that it is the same size that always once was. Size doesn't change. And we go with what originally was the shear of Macholas. You take a look at the Chacham Tzvi in Tshuva Mem Samazayin. But our kunz from Rav Miller is that this, it's not just that there were Rishonim who were Machmer and then Achronim came along and being Makel, but what did we see from the Me'iri? The Me'iri said that it was Gzeira, so the Me'iri is really the precedent of the Chacham Sofer, and if the Me'iri is already the precedent of the Chacham Sofer, we could argue that there were already Rishonim who they're in their language was that this idea is Gzeira. But not only the Me'iri, once you have the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says it's Gzeira, so then the Shulchan Aruch is opening up the Yisod that Rav Moshe Feinstein taught us, and that is that you could rely on the Me'il Tzedakah, you could rely on the Shita of the Chacham Tzvi as well, and that is that the Shir, Chacham Tzvi is in Tshuva Samach Zayin, you have this in your booklet, that the Shir you could rely on the original size of the Macholas, and there's no reason to be Machmer and be Choshesh that today the bed bugs aren't a different type of bed bugs. Why? Because today it's not really a Tzliya. According to the Yeshitas, what we're relying on is not a Tzliya. Marin Rabin Rav Nevinsal told me today that he thinks that the Minhag HaOlam is to rely on this Me'il Tzedakah, and therefore, in terms of Psak, and therefore the and that's how I've always heard from all my other rabbeim as well. However, it should be noted that Rav Vosner in the Shiurei Shevet Halevi in the beginning of Simen Kuf Tzadi is really in many ways much more machmir. And if you'll see that Rav Vosner is Lishitaso, where Rav Vosner is working with the sides that assume that it's based on the Tzliya, and he's not so quick in accepting. Basically, Rav Vosner does not accept the heter of the Me'il Tzedakah. He says that if you know that's definitely migufa, there's not enough of you would not be able to be megal. But it seems to me, from what I was makabel from my rabbeim, that the minig hamorim in general is that one is megal, and therefore the most important part is figuring out the size of the gris in that fantastic sefer Taras Bas Yisrael, which comes from Rav Kalman Kahana, which was checked beginning from the beginning to end, if I'm not mistaken, by the Chazon Ish. He has a picture of the size of a gris on one of the first few pages, and over there it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's also exactly the size of a penny that the Hashara of Rav Kalman Kahana is almost exactly Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hashara, and that is the Minhag HaMorim, and any cheshbonos of what is the size of Makolos today, if that's changed, etc., etc., is not the accepted minhag by most, although there are those who are choshesh. Lahagdil Torah ulahadira, the Rav Moshe and Rav Yisrael asked me a good question yesterday that I never thought about, and so last night I was working on this question a little bit, and I found the Chacham Tzvi b'schut Chacham Avadya. Chacham Avadya Zatzal is also Mekel as well, like the Me'il Tzedakah, and I thought we could answer something that I never stopped at in the Shulchan Aruch based on what we saw from our Rabbeim. If you take a look at the last line in Sif Hei in the Mechaber concludes, V'mizdamin lo gris yoser gadol mizeh hashiur misharim bo. Mechaber says, if you're going to find a gris, this beam, if you're going to find a beam that's larger, so you could be more makel than me. So Rav Yisrael Rav Moshe asks a great kasha. What does the bean have to do with the bugs? So the Badei HaShulchan says something that's very mechudash from a rational perspective. The Badei HaShulchan seems to suggest that if the beans are larger, then the bugs are going to be larger. That's what it seemed. I didn't spend a lot of time in the Badei HaShulchan, but what Rav Moshe showed me, that's what I recall the Badei HaShulchan said. But that's a tremendous chidush, right? So I was thrilled to see that the Chacham Tzvi, early this morning, I was thrilled to see that the Chacham Tzvi asked their kasha. If you take a look in Shaila Samach Zayin that I made reference to before, the Chacham Tzvi quotes that this kasha you are mechaving to the kasha of the Dvar Shmuel, Rab Shmuel Abuhar. Now in Mir Yeshiva, now we have a sefer Dvar Shmuel on Psachim. There was an Avreich who passed away young. But in the world of Halacha, there was a very famous Sephardic posek, Reb Shmuel Abuav, who asked this kasha. And Dibra Maskel, my de kasha, like, Eich yitachen shebi motzei pul gadol yosem kris, yar bedam ha-macholas. What's the connection between the increased size and as Halacha mefureshes and Shulchan Aruch? By the way, where did Shulchan Aruch get it from? We're going to see in a moment the Ramban, a Rashba. If I'm not mistaken, even a Ravid. They all say this. But he asks, what is? It's got to make sense. Coming back to how you saw it from the beginning of the week. It's got to make sense. Why should one impact the other? So I said at the time, maybe, ulai v'ulai, it's beautiful based on the above. Chazal made a gzera. The gzera was that when you have a kesem, which according to halacha, would make the object tame, misafek, then we made gzera that the woman is also going to be aser. So Chazal made a gzera that says that as long as you'll be able to be tola, so then in such a case it would be mekel, because we would even have the tliya, as I understand the Chassam Sofer, in Tumah v'Tahara. So then in such a case, we extended that. If you're not going to be Osir in Tumah v'Tahara, it's poshut, you're not going to be Osir the Baila. So what is the shear of that macholas? So we had a tradition that a macholas is generally the size of a gris. But what is the size of the gris? When did the gzera start? So the answer is everything is vague. Everything is vague. It was just a dimion. The gris was just a dimion. If that's so, the size of the gris is the largest gris that you could find. Because it's a gzera. If it's a gzera, it's going to be the largest gris. And I think, I run the risk of being excited about the idea of Chas v'Chalila stuffing my own words into the words of the Gedolei Achronim, but I think that's the words of the Chacham Sofer, the Chacham Tzvi as well. If you take a look, the Chacham Tzvi says, the last part of his tshuva, V'chi pale be'ena ara'a, and if somebody's going to wonder, Eich yitachin she'matze dam ha'kolos kezeh, how would you find such a large shear? By the way, the Chacham Tzvi is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva as being one of the deos that ultimately Rav Moshe Feinstein used to come to 19 millimeters. Afata amar lo gadol mizeh. He says, I'll tell you there's a bigger chiddush. Tainer Ruchem Yomer, Dov Hashem Mekabel Tumah Ein Mekabel Tzam Var Mishmuel, Bot Kekar Kolom Mashar Dvar Mein Mekabel Tumah, Yosh V'acha Kacham Do Matzal Kesem Gadol, Kekama Grisin Tehora, V'hakol Chozer Le'ikar Echad. This is the critical line. Kivan Demedra Bonan Hu, Heim Amru, Heim Amru. Since it's a Gzera Midrabanan, it's Heim Amru, Heim Amru. In other words, the Chazal says that you only have to be Machmir on this shear of a grit. And therefore, if Chazal are saying you only have to be Machmir for this shear on the grit, so then it would be Mestaber that we would say if it's a Gzera, we could be Mekel up until we know if it's reached the shear of that gris. We don't know exactly what the size of the Pul Halavan that they were speaking about, then that beam that they were talking about. Therefore, there's room to be mekel. So it would seem to me that's the Chacham Tzvi's understanding of the Ramban. And finally, Mesameach, with something I realized just a few minutes before Shir. Take a look at the Ramban himself. This is already after the booklets were already photocopied. How does the Ramban formulate the Yisur Ksamim? The Ramban, in terms of his formulation of Ksamim, who is the Makar of this halacha, the Ramban says in the beginning of his Hilchos Nida, Perek Dalit, Ein Isha Mistamis Minatora Achetagish Bishash Adam Yotim Zara. Minatora, the woman, is only Tmeya if she has Argosha. Umidivrei Sofrim, but Midivrei Sofrim, Shekol HaMotza Kesem Damal Gufa Obligadea, Apo Pisha Lower Gisha, Ba'avo Pisha Bot Gatsma Velo Motza Dam, Hareze Tmeya. How does the Ramban formulate it? The Ramban says that's a gzeira midrabanim midivrei sofrim, even though you know for sure that there is no argasha. Now, it's not like Rashi. Rashi, you understand that dilma argasha, so then according to Rashi, you've got a real suffix. It seems to me that he doesn't use the word of gzeira itself, but it seems that the Ramban is saying there's this dinda raisa, and midrabanim midivrei sofrim, they introduce this nukshash. The Chacham Tzvi's formulation fits in beautifully with the language of the Ramban in his Hilchos Nida, and it would seem to me that the halacha stems beautifully, that there's room to be mekel according to Ramban, and then the Shulchan Aruch, if you take our approach, the Shulchan Aruch is uniform. The way in which we're knowing la halacha is like the opening words of the Mechaber and the Ramah. It's a gzeira. We treat it ki'ilu rasa vadai. It's mamish gzeira as it din vadai. But on the other hand, it's gzeira, and therefore we're going to be much more makel in regards to tliyas as well. Even if the tliyas seems to be outlandish, at the end of the day, we could be makel. Why? Because we're not operating with a tliyah at all. What we're working with is not really a tliyah. There are many who held that you're working with tliyah. The Urayim and others held. But if you go like the Me'iri, and you take Tosas and you extend Tosas as Gzeira, and you say it the way the Chassam Sofer had explained it, so this will explain a lot of our Anhaga in Psak Bizman HaZeh. The feather in the cap is that this is the Psak of the Gris Moshe. Rav Nevinzal thought that the Minhag Olam is as well to follow the Heter of the Mil Tzedakah, and that's how Be'ezer Hashem we have it in terms of our Anhaga Lahalacha. Should we do a summary of everything that we did? Let's just go through a whole summary, and then because this is wide-ranging, my radar tells me that what we should do is stop Shir a little bit shorter and give time to have a Chazara, and then even though I thought to do more today, but I think because this is very, very wide-ranging, we should leave it here. Again, we started with the Shitas HaRambam, that the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Beis says that when it comes to Argosha is a Safek. We argued that the Rambam, of course we put on the board that there's two ways of looking at Ksamim, as a Safek or as a Gzeira. We argued that could help us understand why the Rambam says in Yud Aleph that you treat the Ketzam only like Nida D'Araisa. No, it was a Safek. If it was a slight Shash, we didn't treat it Mamish as a Re'iyah Vadai, but it was a Safek, a slight Shash. So then the halacha is in Yud Aleph, that we say that she only has a Dinida for 7 days. That I mentioned might be a arrow in our quiver, and if I mention the poskim, never mention it. Why? So it could very well be, because our approach is an entirely different approach. Our approach is like the Lashon of both the Mechaber and the Ramah in two different ways. Number one, the Mechaber expressly states, not like the Rambah, and he says that you count only as if it's Shiva Nikim. You don't count just 7 days. You have to make sure that the first day is not a day of the Re'iyah at all, as well as the Ramah, where the Ramah said, it's Ki'ilu Ratsa Vada. We then said, so what is the Svara behind it? And the critical Shita over here is the Shita of the Chassam Sofer. And we see that the Chassam Sofer Shita seems to be as well what Rav Moshe Feinstein works with, and that is the other side of the world. And the other side of the world is to explain what is behind the fact that there is a Shir of Macholas, and that Shir of Macholas is because the whole halacha is a gzeira mitoma. It's all based entirely on Gzer mitoma. We were thrilled to see that the Meiri seems to say that as well. First of all, the Meiri seems to say in both pshatim that you're making on a davar shein mekabel tuma because it's gzeira. But why would you be making on a davar shein mekabel tuma? Because it could very well be that the whole halach of ksamim is coming from the chash of tuma. We mentioned the nafkamina within the Rambam, the right to the Rabbanim, and then we had two nafkaminas of Svek Sveka. Number one is the Gemara Nun Tes on the Beis seems to be choker whether you could say Svek Sveka on Ksamim. Last week we had pointed out that if you're using a double suffix, Rav Miller had suggested that that wouldn't work if you hold that to Gzeira. The other nafkamina is in regards to a practical Svek Sveka, and that is the question that the Taz asks in Sifkat and Beis. Why don't we say that there's a Svek Sveka over here? Number one, maybe it didn't come Migufa, and even if it came Migufa, maybe it came Mehat Stadim. Pointed out, incidentally, that the Taz seems to be making assumptions about how Svek Sveka works, but this is the question in regards to Svek Sveka, and the answer is, if you hold Gzera, the question doesn't apply in the first place. The whole question doesn't apply. Last week you mentioned Nafkamina's Birchas HaTzvila, and then the big what's that? The Darki Tshuva. Darki Tshuva is a likud of Poskim from Hungary. That's to say for Darki Tshuva. He's the grandfather, I think, of the Mincha Saluza, is the Darki Tshuva. And then the big Nafkamina, the world, the earth-shattering Nafkamina, is the case of Vavdei Migufa. And that was the Sidrei Tara in the middle of Tzedakah. And then I was thrilled when I heard that Rav Miller put the two together. I was planning to say that in Shir, and then Rav Miller also added that Lechura, it's totally in the above discussion. Are we looking at it some type of suffix, which we then added, not just simply suffix, but you have Tliya, then we would say that you have to be Machmir if it's Vada Nibufa. But if it's a part of a Gzeira, maybe along the lines of suffix that we make, Shachar was an Afgamina, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says that we go with the older Shir, the size of the macholas, as well as being made on shachar, because there is no gzera. The Urayim was mafurish in the Pische Tshuva and Sifkat and Tes. The Urayim in Pische Tshuva, Sifkat and Tes said expressly that we have to adjust. The crazy place he seems to say that as well as Sifkat and in Simin Kuf Pei Gimel. However, we did find that the Chacham Tzvi is mafurish. There are others. We pointed out the Shevet Alevi also. Seems to come out l'chumra, but it seems to go against Rav Moshe and what I'm familiar with as the minig ha-poskan. And finally, l'hagdil Torah l'adira, the last thing to throw out to fight about in the Beis Medrash, was the question of how you could use what is a bigger gris have to do with the fact that you could be mekhla macholas. You got to be mevar the size of the macholas. So the Dvar Shmuel asked that question. We found that the Chacham Tzvi has a Dvar Shmuel to ask that question, and the Chacham Tzvi seems to give something along the lines of our answer, and that is that the Yisod is that it's an Gzeira. The Gzeira goes back in time. The Gzeira is not something that's fluid, that every generation has to look at its own Macholas, as we saw in contrast to the Shita Yireim. If that's so then what was that Gzeira in time? So the answer is that we have the room to be Mekel, it's Gzeira Midrabanan, and you have the room to be Mekel. Hey Mamru Vehey Mamru, and as long as there's going to be a Gris that's that size, so then in such a case, you'll be able to be Mekel. So that helps us, of course, make a lot of sense of what's going on. And finally, it takes us into our next topic, that is Kesedra Advarim, and that is, as the Meiri points out, now we understand why the halacha that is mechalik between a davar amekabel tuma and davar sheinu mekabel tuma. If you go with the approach of Sam Sofer halacha lemaisa, so then that is going to fit very, very beautifully as well. What we did not do is start Sif Beis in terms of Hergisha v'lo Matzadam, and we didn't do Tinokis v'din Kesem. I want to do that quickly on Monday, Mirtz Hashem, and then get to the sugya of Dover Shein Makabel Tumak. That's a very, very important halacha l'maisa sugya. Yes, Rabbi Avram.
If we can use the other side of Gris, why don't we just use a quarter all the time?
We don't know that it's a quarter.
No, I'm saying if someone could find a large Gris,
yeah,
back in the day, and then he could use it.
Yes.
So if it's possible that a Gris could be the size of a quarter, so...
No, the answer is that Ramosha's Hatzal would say to the Rav's Hatzal, let's assume that the Rav did say a larger shear, okay, for a moment. So then he would say to him, I don't believe there's such a thing. But if that would emerge, So then in such a case, then the halacha would be that one could be mekel. But the reason why we can't be mekel is it's a question of mitzius. It's a machlokas of mitzius. That's, in other words, Rav Moshe is saying this was the largest size that we know about, and hence we're going to follow that shear. But if someone pulled out something that was a grit that qualifies botanically as a grit, then in such a case we would be mekel. Okay, stop here.